This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Thank you very much for joining me. This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are now on the level with J. Lewis Mills. As always, I hope you all had a great week. I had a pretty interesting week. It was some good, some bad, but we'll always take the good over the bad. So I hope you all had a great one. Tonight's show, I am kind of anticipating it's going to be it's going to be a little wild one. I'm having a return guest. And the last time we were speaking, we actually got a little extra time that we didn't anticipate, but we absolutely rode with it. And I always appreciate people that come on my show that are as open, candid, as colorful as my guest tonight. If you have been following my social media, which I'm sure you had to have been, or else you wouldn't be here, my guest tonight is Miss Ty Emery.
G'day, mate. How are you?
How are you? Great.
I'm great.
I got to know Ty several years ago, and we've been kind of internet friends since then, and we had a really, really great chemistry the first time she was on my show. So I figured, what the hell, when I want to let loose, who else can I call but Miss Ty? So how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me back on. I love how even in the intro you're like, if I offend you, sorry. I was thinking, I'm like, no, we aren't sorry.
If you're offended,
maybe you need to sit back at home and ask yourself why you're feeling offended and why that's making you feel bad.
that was more in the sorry, not sorry vein.
That is sarcastic.
Yes.
That sorry is sarcastic.
Well, I'm glad you got at least that part of it. If that offends somebody, sorry.
We aren't sorry.
Sorry.
We're apologetic. We are apologetic and feeling very kind towards your feelings of concern, but emotionally we do not care.
Yeah, I was just about to say, not really, but okay.
Yeah, I was being nice and then pulled the pin at the last second, mate.
So let's get down to, let's talk about some business first, and then we can get into the different subjects of the day. Before we went on the air, you were talking to me about the training camp that you're in right now. So can you just revisit that conversation and let us all know where you are and what's going on with that?
Yeah. So I've been a part of Cheyenne Vlismas's training camp for the last month, maybe 5 weeks. She brought me on as her recovery coach. She's also one of my training partners, a best friend, and she's also a coach. She's been doing this for a lot of years, and I'm able to be able to learn from her, and that's just bloody exciting. So we've been doing this project together and, you know, working day in, day out, literally living in the same room, living in the same bed. We're helping. We're just, like, completely immersed in everything. She's a professional fighter. This is her second bout that she's going to be going into. Right now we're here in Kansas City with Invicta Fighting Championship. She's going to be going up against Helen Peralta, which has got already like a bit of controversy going on. One's more like a pub brawler, and Cheyenne is definitely true to her name as the Warrior Princess. But yeah, so during this time, I've really been helping to prepare meals that have, we're working with a nutrition company called Lockhart. They're working with a number of UFC athletes at the moment. We've got Max Holloway's, Joanna, and, you know, a lot of top listed guys with them. So this is the first time she's using them, and yeah, it's just been really interesting helping to prepare meals. More for myself, I'm yoga accredited, so I've got a 200-hour registered yoga teacher. I'm also using the skills of, you know, what I've learned over the past 4 to 5 years as a professional football player, and I've been doing yoga for 10 years. So this has kind of been, it's been my life for so long, and I truly know, like, the connection of the mind to the body and being able to use those sorts of skills to give yourself that advantage. So with Cheyenne, we're doing a lot of yoga. Honestly, day to day it can change, but each week we'll schedule with her training timetable where she's going to have more of a massage, and then outside of that, each day if she's got like niggles, she's injured something in training, which every fighter out there knows that every day you're getting hurt. So
yeah.
One day you might come home with a stinger because you've ran into a wrestler on it when you're going to shoot in, or maybe you've re-hurt your knee, or your feet are just feeling extra sore. You've done too much with your boxing and you need your arms worked out. So every day we're just, you know, we're resonating with what she needs, and we're feeling it out with what her body wants, and more just what she wants as well. Cheyenne's really, really, really goes well with the meditation that I've been doing with her. I try to customize everything to the athlete or just to the person that I'm with. I really love being able to analyze and get deeper into the minds of anyone. You know, you can only meet someone as deep as you've met yourself. And I feel like I like to continue to search in my inner verse daily, every second. You know, that's what we're here to do, is just to rediscover who we are. And if
Absolutely.
I can give some of the tools that, you know, get some of the tools that I've been able to use to be as strong mentally that I am onto someone else, and be able to elevate, you know, already how amazing that they are, and just be, you know, bring that sort of clarity and focus to them, then hell, that's all I can do, you know. So a lot of hers is really, like, she really goes well with the meditation, and her being the warrior princess, I tend to start hers as a, and once upon a time, there was a princess, a warrior princess. And then I just feel it out from there. But yeah, it's super awesome being here with Invicta. It's been great watching them do everything from behind the scenes, especially coming from the LFL. We in the LFL, we're doing that in a 12-hour to 24-hour period, and we've been here for the week, and it's just so awesome to see how Invicta kind of runs their cards. They've got an all-female card, which is just awesome. So girl power to everything. Yeah, it definitely is hot. There has been no guy fighters. It's just all females, and everyone's doing their thing. And you know, just really killing it. It's really inspirational. I think it's awesome for females to be able to see something like this and open up their eyes and, you know, maybe inspire them, whether it's just go back to school or, you know, just empower them. That's what it's all about.
Two questions. The first one is, how did you and Cheyenne originally link up, and is there going to come a time where we see you in an Invicta ring?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, that's the aim of the game. That's where I'm going to go. That eventually, yeah, I would love to be fighting on Invicta. I did a post with the belt when we went down to sign all of Cheyenne's posters, and I had Douglas Lima, my old Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach from the American Top Team of Gwinnett, message me, and he said, "That's you." So
yeah,
even when I read that, that's probably when he planted a seed for me, you know? Mm. He really planted a seed for me to be able to think, well, he's bloody right. It could be me. Cheyenne and I, when did we... We linked up a couple of years ago now. It was at Extreme Couture. She was a Florida girl. The head coach there, Dennis Davies, he seeked her out. He seeked her out, when was that? Probably the first few years before that as well. By the time, I think I was just leaving to Atlanta. I was just leaving to Atlanta, and we kind of just met in the gym. Instantly we connected. We're both the girliest of girly girls. And we're both, like, obviously we love playing rough. So we kind of clicked it off straight away. And then that's when I got her in with a sponsorship deal with NutraFX, who I am sponsored by. So I just believed in her. She was, you know, athletes are struggling. Like, we're not getting paid. We're not balling. Everyone's living off the dream, you know, and that's what the payment is. Like, a true payment for that is it is just through the passion of everything and just doing it. So, yeah, we linked up at Extreme Couture, and we just stayed friends ever since. And yeah, it's honestly, it's awesome to be back and have someone who's a training partner, much like Cheyenne. She, you know, she's had 17 amateur fights and now she's pro. She's going on her second bout. She's destined for the UFC. She has Misha Tate as her manager, which is awesome because Misha Tate was the, you know, was the athlete who even suggested for me to transition into this sport. So we've got a lot of cool sort of connections, and obviously we all can kind of see the same things in each other as well.
Have you been in Kansas City for your whole training camp, or do you start somewhere else and then closer to the fight you move over to Kansas City?
Yeah, so we've she prefers to work out of Extreme Couture because that's where all of her coaches are. She's got Ray Sefo and she's got Dennis Davies. So a lot of her camps, we have been just staying, you know, in the comfort of her own home. We've been preparing and cooking meals by Lockhart all in her home. She loves her dogs. She saved dogs. Like, how can you hate someone who saves dogs, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How can you hate anyone who goes and saves animals?
Well, I mean, if she's going to punch me in the face, we're going to have a situation. Damn the dog. If she's going to punch me in the face, I've got a situation. So I'm just saying.
You're right.
I'm just saying.
You're right. But, so she loves to be surrounded by that sort of comfort of her own home and have her dogs and the love of her dogs and more the love of her team. She is definitely bleeds black and blue for Extreme Couture. And, you know, that's where she feels most at home. Hey, is that how she's going to run her camps as well as, you know, my future camps? Like, who knows? Time can tell. Opportunities can come abroad, and both of us would be crazy to say no to anything different. But, yeah, definitely she's having a lot more comfort just staying in Vegas. It is the fight capital of the world, you know, and we're surrounded by the best athletes there. So it's just a good thing to be able to go to work, and then you've got Uriah Hall giving her tips, and you've got everyone else who's in the gym doing the same thing for her. Yeah, she's got that sort of comfort. So we came out Tuesday, we flew in, and then she fights Friday night. So that's enough time. That's enough time to kind of get everything flowing. It's just been all systems go, mate, since we've been here.
Now, I don't remember if it was I don't remember if it was while we were before the show started or if you said it actually during the show, but you made mention to there being a bit of controversy already with this fight. What's that about?
Okay, so Helen, at the house, in our fighter house at Cheyenne's, we've got Ariana, which was long friends with Destiny. And Destiny is a training partner of Cheyenne and, you know, also roommates. So they're all close friends. They're all about around the same age. And Destiny's last fight was actually with Helen. And during the face-off, Helen kissed her. So, yes!
Jesus, take the wheel.
What? Jesus, take the wheel, please. But yeah, so Helen kissed her during the face-off, and see, Cheyenne's like a feisty one, so she's definitely, we got this same sort of energy. But where I'm a lot softer and probably calmer, and I probably like to think things through. You know, a way more logical thinker. I'm also probably way more of an airhead. While she's got a lot more, you know, that street smart, like, not hood, but she's a Florida girl, so you know, she's got that little, she got sass about her, and she's just not about that life. She's a true mixed martial artist, and you know, she's definitely that much of a respect, and you know, she's definitely about not touching the opponent until you enter the cage, because you know, that's the part that's respect. And so yeah, that's kind of where it hit off. If Cheyenne doesn't like something about you, she's either all in or she's all out. So it's been pretty funny. We're walking down the hallway, okay? So we're coming out of probably the second photo shoot. We're walking down the hallway, and I see the media guy, and he's got the camera, and I see her opponent. So instantly, I know what's up, because in the LFL world, you know, they kind of do the same thing. It's a media thing, and they're, you know, they're building hype, and they're wanting to see how each fighter reacts. So as we're walking, I've gone full puppet mouth, and I'm like, Cheyenne. I'm like, Cheyenne, there's your opponent. And I'm like, and there's the media crew. I'm like, they're definitely doing this to set something up and create hype. So, yeah, even at that point, we kind of walked past Cheyenne. Cheyenne, honestly, she was just way too enthralled in herself and in her phone, as that generation is. And she was kind of relaxed about it, didn't really, kind of gave her a bit of a snub, I guess. Gave her a bit of a snub. And as we walked into the next radio with the Invicta radio, the girl, Helen, kind of laughed at her. So they just had the third, like, a face-off interview, which is just only, it only has the Invicta radio host. And okay. The two girls in a room, so three chairs in a room, and they black it out, you know, just to create that energy. So mm-hmm. Right now I'm sitting in the dark room because we've got everyone weight cutting, so I'm actually sitting in the bathroom in the dark room. And even just on my own, you know, you can feel a different sort of intensity in a room when it's dark because you're able to, you know, bring more focus. So just knowing that it was that, you know, those two girls in a, you know, alone and talking for the first time when Helen's, yeah. You know, she's definitely got that, I guess, that pub brawler gangster in her, you know, like, she ain't going to fuck around and Cheyenne ain't going to fuck around. So, yeah, Helen said that she laughed at her when she entered the room because she was dressed up and looked like she had just come from a wedding. And I'm like thinking, bitch, that girl looks like she just came out of a Maxim shoot. Don't be playing. I did that makeup myself.
So is this Helen chick into chicks, or did she kiss the girl Destiny trying to get into her head?
Ooh, sassy. I have no idea. I don't know. You want me to call out the? I can call out the door and we can give it a geeze. But I have no idea if she's how she's swinging.
Okay, I mean, I was just asking because if that was just a tactic to get into Destiny's head, then
well,
I mean,
it probably worked because Helen won.
It absolutely so would. So I'm sure
worked.
I'm sure the weigh-in for this fight, this Invicta fight that Cheyenne has, the weigh-in is Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. She weighs in tomorrow at 10.
Okay.
And what
do you think Cheyenne would do if Helen tries to do the same thing?
If this girl even touches her, I can already tell you that Cheyenne's going to fucking lose it. Like, she's going to lose it. If she touches her, the girl is dead before she even gets in the cage. Like, that's not even... That's already written in the stars.
So is this weigh-in going to be televised? Because if it is, I'm for damn sure watching.
I'm gonna actually go live. I'm gonna go live. It's meant to be here in the hotel. We're here at the Wolf Lodge, so I'm gonna go live with it.
Okay. So now this might be some people might say this is an uncouth question to ask, but I'm me. That's what I do, so I'm going to ask it anyway. I know when the dude fighters are in training camp, they say that dudes can't can't. You already know where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
they say
going.
Dudes can't have sex because it's going to mess their legs up. Is it the same for a female fighter? Do female fighters have to abstain also?
Well, I don't know. Everyone has their own different theories. I actually asked my old strength and conditioning coach because I love these sorts of questions. But for me, I got so enthralled and started thinking of like the chemical makeup of the human body when it comes to being able to have sex and kind of what it has on the mind. There mm-hmm. was honestly, when I read into it, had a few different theories. They said that abstaining from sex is good because really we're here to mate and procreate, like continue to make babies on babies, you know, like that's really what we're meant to do. That's all we're meant to be doing. And if they believe that if you're sleeping with someone that, you know, you've already won the ultimate goal, so it can take an edge off you. But then it's also said that in the female body, it helps to increase testosterone levels. And also about, you know, help to balance hormones and, you know, give a clearer mind. So I can't be commenting on Cheyenne whether she's getting lucky or not. But I know that right now, I'm gonna let you know right now, she is single and she is not with anyone. So I'm gonna say that there's probably been no sex going on. But okay. Who knows? I can guess. I can call out and ask if you really need.
No. I didn't necessarily mean with her. I just meant in a female fight camp, is that the same thought pattern? Because you've been in camps, your own camps, as well as this one is
abstinence. Honestly, for me, even when getting the 1.5 to 2 weeks out and in the fight camps that I was doing for myself, I really didn't. I wanted everything to just be focused on the job at hand. And Cheyenne's much the same. I'm living in the same bed as her, so she definitely has not been having to. But I think more of her focus has been has just been on training. So we had a few of our teammates wanted to come and visit, and she just definitely wasn't having it. She just wanted all female energy in her camps, and I guess that's just the way it really is. I know a couple of the girls at the gyms have partners, and their partners are their coaches, so I'm sure things are a little different for them. And hey, female athletes, especially in this sport, they're high testosterone females, so they would definitely have higher sex drives compared to most females. Camps are probably different from individual to individual, and what makes someone, feel their best and be their best. I guess for some people, having 5 girlfriends or having 5 boyfriends and getting laid is, what empowers them. For someone else, something else can empower them, I guess deep down it just comes down to what's going to make their mind the strongest and make them believe it. Like, the shit, that's what you got to go in there thinking, it's so mental, and I guess that's just different for everyone.
Yeah, okay, let me just make a quick note. Next girlfriend will be a fighter. Okay, cool. I'm good. Okay.
Hear that?
So let's get back a little bit to you and what you are doing. As far as meal preparation, how do you come up with the menu? How do you come up with what she eats from day to day?
Well, I'm really, really lucky. We're working with Lockhart Nutrition. I'm just going to bring one up right now, and I can give you a kind of rundown of a day. But everything has literally everything gets sent to us from the team. She goes into their system. She goes into their database. The athlete will enter, when they're training and what they're training, and then they'll shoot back feeding times. On Sunday, April 29th, her first meal of the day was 8 a.m. So this was egg whites, 4 eggs, kale, 1 cup, walnuts, 11 halves, and then 3 ounces of oatmeal. Then she wouldn't get a second feeding until 10:20, which is a snack. And, Sundays is recovery day. So on Sunday, she's eating a lot more. That was sort of the pattern that we saw throughout the camp was Sundays during her recovery time. She was eating a lot. Compared to other days, we were surprised at how much she was actually eating, which is great for people and athletes out there. If you are a snacker and you just can't get control of that sort of side, I would definitely let them know to work with Lockhart. You're eating, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day you're eating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is there a such thing as a cheat day for eating in a fight camp, or is it all just not during camp?
There is no cheat day in fight camp.
Okay.
Well, not in this system. Hey, so like I said, someone else might think differently. I'm sure someone out there who has actually fought and is a fighter right now. I'm still just a football player and an athlete transitioning into the sport. I still cannot claim the title of a fighter until I get that first bout,
I respect you for that. Everyone. I absolutely respect you for saying that, because there's a lot of fakers out there, but you're real with it, so I absolutely respect that.
Hell yeah, well, you gotta be. I'm not here to play around. Like, I'm fucking the real deal in whatever I do, and if people can't recognize that, then they're obviously not meant to be in my reality, so they will disappear. You either evolve or you disappear, and that's just the way that it is.
How much is there? How much actual film study is there? Like this her opponent that she has on Friday. How much of the time is spent in the film room just watching her opponent's fights, trying to come up with a game plan?
Most of her game plan has been done and looked through with her coaches. By the time that I'd kind of come into the scene with her fight camp at the 5-4 week mark, she'd already done a lot of her study. And Cheyenne's the type of person, once she's kind of done that study, she knows what to do, and then she's not focusing on her opponent. She's focusing on herself and focusing on the camp. Like I said, that would be different for everybody, because for myself, I know how I am. Even from high school, I was that kid who was studying every lunchtime. Like, I would just go overboard in watching. I'm really huge on visual reps. So for me, I know I would be wanting to do something different, and that's just, you know, looking at movements. I was the same when I played in the LFL. I would just sit and I would watch and I would look at people's mannerisms. Hold on, sorry. But that's for me. I would be like watching people's mannerisms and things like that. But Cheyenne's super focused, and she'll go through film, only every so often. Most of the time, that's just for her to have a bonding experience with a training partner or a coach.
Okay. Now, with you being there with her right now, and with the fire that we both know that you have, you know, how is it? Does it ever become difficult for you to, in a proverbial way, to be on the sidelines instead of being the one that is training for the fight? Do you ever get like hyped up like that? Like,
I'm 100% her hype man. I'm 100% her hype man, because I believe in her. You know, I'm humble enough. I'm 31. You know, she's so young, and she's going to be such an amazing fucking woman. Like, you have no idea. But I'm jealous, but only jealous in a good way. I'm jealous in a good way because, you know, I love training. I love being an athlete. I love pushing myself to the limit. I love that. I love the aggression. I love the excitement. I love the challenge. And, you know, it's never hard to sit on the sideline, just because, you know, everybody has a position and everybody has their place. Everybody has their sort of place, as you know, on the team as to what they're doing. And when it's not your time, you should definitely be able to gracefully sit to the side and put all your focus and attention onto someone else. It's definitely not hard to sit on the sideline. You know, and she's calming with that. You know, right now, I think the last time I was talking with you, I had just gotten injured. Because I was meant to be fighting. No, I had it wasn't no. injured then, and I was meant to be fighting in April in yes. Oregon. Yeah. Yes. So really, not long after that, I hurt my knee, and right now my focus for myself is just being patient. Mm-hmm. So just being patient with myself, and being able to be a part of this has honestly just helped to keep me sort of busy and keep me focused and still learning. Like I said, visual reps.
So in a sense, this is therapy for you.
Hell yeah, this is therapy for me. Or else I'd just be sitting around. Yeah, I'd be sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah. So when it comes to fight day, Friday.
Yeah.
What changes, and I don't know if I can really ask this question because I don't know if her opponent is listening to my show or not, but really changes in the way of preparation for the fight that night? Like, no, forget that question. Let me ask a totally different question.
Okay.
On fight day, when does she start getting physical to get that sweat up? When does she start her sparring? Maybe that was a worse question.
Hold on, that's a question for the expert. So this is my first camp of being able to be a part of it, and you know, right now I'm learning from her coach, Coach Dennis Davies, and I'm learning from Cheyenne, both true professionals in this sport, and true mixed martial artists, you know. So right now this is my first experience of being able to be a part of this and learn. Coach, when does Cheyenne start getting a little more physical on fight day? Really, it's not until close to the cage, because a lot of it's keeping calm, right?
Keeping calm, and then every athlete's a little bit, but pretty much an hour or so before the fight, and we started doing pads and moving around, getting them warmed up, and then a hard go, shake out all the cobwebs, and then go.
Okay.
That's
thanks, Coach. Appreciate
you, straight
homie.
From the coach.
Appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah. Okay, so where can people go to win? What time is the fight? People that are listening that are there in Kansas City, where do they go? And people that are not in Kansas City, where can they go to see this fight on Friday, and what time will it be?
7 p.m. is fight time with Invicta. Where are we going? I do not know, because really we just go downstairs and get on the bus and they take us there. But it's on UFC Fight Pass. I'm sure everyone in Kansas has access to their phone and be able to Google. I'm looking for the schedule to see if it has a location, but sorry about that. But so it's 7 p.m. She's the first fight of the night, so she's going to be opening the card. And yeah, that's full access on UFC Fight Pass. Yeah.
Okay. Do people have to, is UFC Fight Pass, for those that don't know, is UFC Fight Pass something that you have to pay for, or is that just an app that you can get and you can see the fight for free?
Oh, I'm pretty sure you have to pay for it.
Okay.
I'm sure, you know, it's the UFC, so they're about that money. They're about that money, you know?
That's true. Well, please wish Cheyenne, you know, I tell her that I absolutely will be watching. And
it's at the Scottish Rite. So Kansas locals, it's at the Scottish Rite.
Scottish Rite?
Yeah, Scottish Rite.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Invicta 29. All females. Who doesn't want to watch fucking hot chicks kill each other?
For those that are there in Kansas City, you know where that venue is. If you don't, Google it. I as I told you, Ty, before we came on the air, I saw a couple of Cheyenne's fights on YouTube, and I already know that this chick is a warrior, because as I was telling you, in the fight that I saw, she dislocated her elbow and she did not want to stop. They had to force her to stop the fight, when most people would have been, you know what, I'm hurt, I can't go. But you could visibly see how disappointed she was. And she was actually arguing with the ref, which I thought was kind of funny. She was arguing with the ref, telling the ref, I can still go, I can still go. And the ref was like, no, the fuck you can't. So, you know, she absolutely, in my eyes, she absolutely is a warrior. So I definitely look forward to seeing her fight on Friday night.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, that's why I like her. She's, you know, I see a lot of myself in her. And it's hard to find other bad bitches, you know?
Yeah, I do know. I do know. So let's switch gears a little bit. We got the business out of the way. Now I want to get the Ty Emery thought pattern about a few things that are going on in our society today.
Oh my let's start.
First thing I want to talk to you and ask your opinion about is Kanye West saying that slavery here in America was a choice. I understand that you're from Australia, but you still have to have an opinion on exactly how much of an ass clown this guy is being. When you first heard that,
I don't understand. Like, are they throwing it up? Because honestly, I try and stay off my phone. Like, hey, I know Instagram and everything else. Like, it's really an unnecessary. Like, it's a needed, unnecessary evil. You know.
Yes.
So I don't know how things are going to be portrayed. I don't know. I remember learning in English, it depends on how the news wants to portray a subject. Like, are they going to be for it or are they going to be against it? Where are they wanting the attention to go? And maybe the Americans, like American people, need to see, like, why are they dangling this Kanye West thing? Like, what else is going on? Why do they need to blow up and use Kanye West? Like, who the hell has made a call for Kanye to be able to say something like that? Like, I'm more interested in what else is what else is going on behind the scenes for them to be able to even pull something like that out. I feel like they're continuously, especially, you know, I am from Australia, and, you know, we've had different, you know, different sorts of things happen to the Aboriginals of our land, and it's very different coming over here, and just trying to educate the Americans of kind of letting them know that they're not the only black society that has kind of been, like, well, you know, pushed back by, I guess, the white man, you know, like, it's happened in every, it happens to every tribe, and it happens to every color. But
so basically what happened what happened was, last week, Kanye came out and he was in a picture with Donald Trump, and he had on the Republican red hat that said, "Let's make America great again." So TMZ actually had him on and was talking to him about that because he had gotten so much backlash from the not only the black community, but he just got the he got a lot of black backlash from the black community, from the hip hop community, from a lot of different places, from the women's movement. He got backlash from a lot of people. So they thought that it was in their best interest. Why? I don't know. But they thought it was in their best interest to have Kanye West come on their show in order to explain himself. And in his explanation, he said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he said, like, slavery. I think slavery was a choice. You were there for 400 years, all of y'all, for 400 years. That was a choice. And he said it with a straight face. And he meant exactly, he meant what he said. It took rappers like T.I. to contact him and say, look, bruh, what you're doing when you say stuff like this is you are alienating the same people that the person being Donald Trump that you say you like, you are alienating those same people. Kanye wanted to act like he didn't understand it. And he actually sent somebody else a text message and asked, I don't know if you know who Charlemagne the God. He's another, he does a radio show out in New York, pretty well known in the hip hop community. He sent him a tweet or a text message that said, T.I. said, I hurt people. Is that true? And I'm like, wait a minute. How the fuck do you not understand what you said? How do you not understand that you saying, first of all, for any person of color, I don't give a good goddamn what ethnicity you are from. For any person of color, even for any person outside of being ethnic, even if the whitest white boy were to come out and say slavery was a choice, how you can fix your mouth to say that, how you can get your brain to let that come out of your mouth. Now, I understand Kanye's got a new album coming out, and I work in the entertainment industry. So I absolutely understand how there's sometimes people will say something just to get back in the news. Sometimes people will say stuff just to get the spotlight put on them. But for you to say something so inflammatory as to say you thought that slavery was a choice, after everything that we have learned, good, not good, everything that we have learned bad about slavery, I don't, after every movie that has been done, after every book
I'm like, when I first got over here, you know, a couple of my homies got me to watch Django. And I know, obviously, that's like super glorified, but even just watching that, like, that's not a choice, mate.
No.
Kidding?
No.
Like, the cruelty, like, it's honestly, it makes me sick just to even watch that because, you know, humans are the most evil things. Like, gosh, humans are just so evil, you know. But, gosh, yeah, I don't know what he's on. Who knows? I would hate to think that that's even a ploy. I'm sure he's, like, I don't know, he's getting to a point now in his career where he's just sitting back and, you know, he's like overthinking, and he's kind of always kind of had that self, you know, projection of him being a god. I think I stopped listening to him. I think I heard a song where he was like, I am God or something like that. And I just thought, this is just too much. I was like, this is just too much.
So at one point in time, you were a Kanye fan, but you're no longer a Kanye fan. Is that a fair statement?
It's not that I'm not a fan and have always been a fan. I'm a fan of no one. I'm a fan.
Okay.
I'm a supporter of my friends, my friends who I'm who I'm actually friends with. That's probably the only people who I'm ever a fan of, just because then I have, you know, an emotional attachment to them and I can mm-hmm. believe in them. But I've never really been a fan of anyone. I just remember feeling sick listening to things. I don't know.
So
you can't put yourself on the same level as God.
Maybe in the physical
realm, I guess him and the Kardashians are the closest thing to fake famous gods, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, I remember my grandmother. I don't remember much about I remember a little bit because I was a real young kid, but I remember a play that my grandmother took us all to New York City to go and see, and the name of the play was Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God.
Yeah.
That was the name of the play, and even though I don't remember the play, the name of the play has always stuck with me, because I think that just rings so true. I don't care.
Hell yeah, it does.
Your arms are just too short to box with God. And, you know, I've heard people, you know, it was, you know, in a joking type way. I've heard people say when Michael Jordan was in his prime, people were calling him Black Jesus. And, I didn't agree with that. I really did.
Isn't that just crazy? Like,
yeah.
How do we even do that? Like, how does society just even do that? I'm an athlete and, you know, I just think it's crazy that, you know, athletes and people who aren't really, I guess, you know, they are inspiring and they do inspire people because physically they're doing something that someone was unable to be mentally tough enough to be determined and focused enough to do it. But there's people who are trying to cure cancer and there's goddamn people fucking doing weight, you know, going out on missionaries and things like that. Like, those are the people who I feel like should be the famous people.
You
know, we love to be entertained, so that's just the way that it goes.
Do you know anything about the whole Bill Cosby situation?
I really only know because I'm flicking through the Instagram. Hasn't he now gotten in trouble and gone to jail? Is that right?
He hasn't gone to jail yet. He actually went to court and he was found guilty on all three counts. And, you know, that is going on in, excuse me, I'm not going to say it's just in the Black community, but, you know, people are saying, you know, Bill Cosby has been convicted. What about Harvey Weinstein? What about Matt Lauer? What about all these other Caucasian guys that got taken down
Aussie, I will say one thing. I do notice in the news that everything is directed towards the Black community. It's fucking crazy, dude. It's like everyone is one. Like, everyone wants to be unified. At the end of the day, nobody gives a fuck about your color. Like, nobody cares. But because of the news and because of it constantly having it in people's faces, like, that's where the divide is coming, is just from the propaganda that's coming from the news. So honestly, I just feel like there's some powers that be, or whoever's got the, you know, got the money behind the media, is continuously putting this out there, because it's like, you've got a sore. How does the sore heal? Time. Like, time eventually heals it, because, you know, we have to evolve. But if you're going to keep burning the sore, picking at the sore, you know, stabbing at the sore, it's going to continue to bleed. It's not even going to heal. So it's like they can just continue to be like, hey, remember, you all hate each other. That's how I feel like as an Australian, being able to watch the news here. And, you know, I'm friends with people from every single race. Like, I've got friends in every single race. But, you know, that's the thing that I just continuously see. I feel like they want that divide, and they want everyone to be hating. Like, they just want everyone to be hating. It's kind of like they want people to, they're scared. It's like the white man is scared of the black man. So, you know, like, what do you do when you don't want anyone to be friends with someone? You bitch about them. You whinge about them. You hear their shit, and you continue to talk shit. And that's kind of like how I feel when I watch the news towards anything like that.
Well, I do have to say, I mean, I agree 100% with what you're saying, but I do have to say, you know, here in America, just because this is the place I was born and raised,
yeah,
there is still a good level of underlying racism, inward and outwardly, here in this country. But I will also say, if I'm going to say that, then I feel like I have to be fair. There is racism on both sides of every fence. I'm not talking about just black or white. I'm talking about, you know, there's racism in the black community. There's racism in the white community. There's racism in the Native community. There's racism in the Latino community. And there are some communities that feel like we are justified to feel the way that we feel because of what this particular race has done to us. So to that I say, if you want to hold somebody accountable, like, I'm like you, I have friends from every race. I'm not going to look at my Caucasian friends and say, I hate you because of Donald Trump. I hate you because of Harvey. I'm not going to look at my Jewish friends. I hate you because of Harvey Weinstein. I'm not going to look at my Latino friends and say, I hate you because of, well, I can't think of anybody Latino right now, but I hate you because of something someone of your race did. I believe we need to treat everybody individually. But what the news here in America does is they group everybody in together by race, and I don't think that that's cool. That's where I think the divide is. If there's a black individual that did something, hate on that black individual.
Exactly.
Don't hate on the whole race and say, oh, that's the way those darkies are. If somebody white did something, don't say, well, that's just white people. That's not just white people. And that's
it's
not just
people.
It's just people.
It's person. That's it's individual. It's person.
So the big thing about Bill Cosby is, you know, there are people that are saying, you know, there's all these white guys that did everything, you know, that they did, and they haven't been brought to trial yet. They haven't been convicted yet. That's very true. And I do see that as a problem. But the one difference with Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein and Matt Lauer and any other white guy that has been brought down from their level of power is Bill Cosby actually drugged these women.
Yeah.
So
that's an I'm a good looking woman, and guess what? Unfortunately, in my fucking life, I've been drugged many a time. And how sad is that? At least many a times I have been drugged and had people try to take advantage. I got drugged in my last season of the LFL in bloody Las Vegas. I remember waking up in a hotel room. You know what I mean? Like, I remember waking up and seeing people with phones out and then just kind of blacking out again, and then waking up the next morning and a guy kind of jumping on me and just thinking, what the, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? So the fact that he is drugging, like, try and pull the chick on your own. Like, if someone says no, they say no. The fact that someone needs to even use a substance to try and help, you know, pull the gods into their favor to get laid is just, I don't understand how they just think that's even a score. I guess, honestly, they're sick in the head and they love that victimization. That's where they're feeling, you know, they get those jitters and they're getting the adrenaline rush of the hunt. Like, every man hunts and every woman can hunt. But a man is evidently, like, he's the hunter. So I guess because we're living in weird times and maybe he's being put through some weird situations, maybe he just wasn't getting that little kick anymore. And then the next thing you know, he kind of stumbled across something, and that's, you know, maybe that's where it kind of started. Like, it starts off as it's a hunt for them, and it's this, like, yeah, it's just this little kick that he's getting. I think he definitely should be, like, held to trial. These, unfortunately, the other women, were they drugged? No. But were they taken advantage of because of their, you know, the position of power and their wanting? Like, I don't, you can never judge, like, any of those females for any of the things that they did, or even any of the male counterparts that, you know, kind of did that with, what is it, Winehouse or whatever, like Hollywood. These people
Weinstein,
are put in a position.
Harvey Weinstein.
Weinstein. I'm sorry, but, you know, like, these people are put in a position where it's do or die. And if you're given that, you know, if you're given that, hey, all you got to do is this, and this is what you're going to get, well, guess what? Most people are going to go, fuck it. I'm doing it. Because they want it. And they're the people who are there where they are today because they have that mentality that they go, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So I feel like for those, are they, were they victimized and, you know, should he kind of be called out? Well, yeah, but how many bosses around the world have kind of been doing that? You want this promotion? Like it's not fucking just the people in those positions that we should be calling out. Like, you know, for some reason, that guy just got thrown to the wolves. And he was taking the fall, and there was no doubt a lot of other, like, stuff that was going on in Hollywood for that. But, yeah, Bill Cosby, like, you're seeking women out. It was only a matter of time before it started getting worse. Like, this is where the, you know, this is where he got his kicks now. And then where does it go to next? Like, well, all of a sudden you're not getting, you know, you're not excited by that anymore. Where does he go to now? Does he start tying them up, you know? He definitely needed to be, like, he's unfortunately, he is unwell. He is unwell.
So that this kind of actually, I gotta say, you kind of stunned me because I didn't know about the whole drug thing, but I was kind of leading into asking you a question of, you know, being a female athlete, and you said it yourself, you're a hot chick, you are, but you know,
I can only
say
it once in a blue moon. Outside of that. Stay humble.
how what is dating like for you? Like, how do you, what type of filters do you have to have because you are who you are? Like, what type of vetting do you have to go through when you meet a guy or a chick, whatever you're into, and you want to have that type of relationship? How it clearly can't be the same as just the way a normal woman is. So, like, what do you go through? What do you look for? How do you know who you can date and who you can't date, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, I have not dated since my ex-boyfriend, so I have not dated probably in, like, I think it's 4 or 5 years now. I've only had 3 boyfriends my entire life. I've never put a full focus on having a boy, like having a partner and having a boyfriend. And I think that's, you know, I'm very driven, and I think that's why I was as successful as I was. Like, I was one of the first females to run their own electrical contracting company in Australia. I was the first female and one of the youngest thermographers in Australia. You know, I made a women's professional football team to play in the first LFL season of Australia. I've just come, you know what I mean? Like, I've been able to do all these amazing things because I've never allowed focus to go into a person or just into dating and just wasting my time in that sort of thing. It's really hard for me to even just have that sort of connection. I don't like to waste my time, and if I can't have a conversation with someone and feel something different, like, for me, it's about energy. Like, if I can't feel something different, I can't fake it. So I can't even go out for a drink. Everyone's like, oh, why don't you just go to the movies or go have a drink with someone? I'm like, no, because I would be bored, and that would be wasting my time. And I would rather, honestly, I've got jiu-jitsu at 7 p.m. Like, I'd rather go to jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to wrestling. I'd rather save that money that I would have went on a date for and pay my fucking coaches so I can get some mitt work. You know, like, I've just got different goals. So for me, it has been super hard. It's been super hard to even date. You know, since I was in magazines, you start to realize, like, people just want you as an, you know, just a notch on their belt. And you kind of have to just wait to see it. The best thing I've ever, I can ever sort of say is, how do I put the analogy? Okay, I'm swimming in the Great Barrier Reef, and mm-hmm. you spot a tiger shark. Mm-hmm. The best thing to do, all you can do is swim straight to the bloody boat. Because guess what? That tiger shark is going to play with its food. You know, 1 minute it's a mile behind you. Next thing you blink and she's beside you.
Yeah.
And you blink again and you know, the shark's up ahead. Then the shark nudges you, you know, just to freak you out. You've got enough time and you've got to hope like hell by the time you've swum to that boat that you've gotten in the boat before this tiger shark has finished his game. And that's the same with men. Like, every man has a game. Like, every man has a game. And I guess for me, I'm such an observer of, you know, humans, and I love just to see, you know, see how they react to things.
So, you know, like, the element of lonely never comes into play for Ty Emery. Like, you don't ever see your workout partners that have a boyfriend or a husband, and you never say, you know, I wish I had that. I miss that.
I miss that or wish for that. It's that deep for me, honestly. Yeah, deep down, of course, I want that. But I want it to be true, and I want it to be real. And I don't want, you know, I want it to be real.
What type of guy do you think you would find that realness in?
Definitely someone who takes the time to probably understand me and just really, really, really see me. Like, really see me and just put in the time and put in the effort and not give up. If a man wants you, once they've decided they want you, like, it's kind of over. And all I can do for that man is say yes or no. But if a man wants you, he will let you know he's gonna ask you. He's not gonna be able to live with it. He's gonna, you know, that's just, I want to be hunted. The game is easy. I found out a long time ago, it's very easy for me to be able to get someone. You can get anybody, you know what I mean? Like, you can get anyone. It's easy. It's a fucking easy thing. Hey, I have vagina. Hey, I have boobs. It ain't a hard game. Like, that's not a hard game. A hard game is being patient. The harder game is being patient and, you know, sitting back and waiting for something that is true and something that has connection. And that's not even has to be, like, through speaking. Like, you can feel if something is different, you know. Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to date a fighter? Would you be able to date another athlete? Would it have to be somebody outside of the sports world? Businessman?
For me, I don't know whether it's business or sport. Obviously, I think, you know, right now, of course, an athlete, because they're going to be understanding towards my life. They're going to be understanding and really, really, like, understand my mind. So I think it's probably just drive. It has to be someone who has drive and has to have passion. It has to be wanting something more out of life. Okay.
Well, just like you said about Cheyenne, guys, you know, she's single, so you got to come at her the right way, or else don't even worry about it. That's good stuff. That's actually good stuff.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, because I had a couple of guys at the gym sort of ask, they're like, well, who do you like? And in my head, I'm just like, as if I'm going to tell you who I like. So because I have to just wait, I'm just going to be patient, and eventually it'll just fall into place. And, you know, that's just the way that it is.
Yeah. So, you and your girlfriends are out for a ladies' night. A guy walks
one,
up to the...
I'm the one... Okay, a guy walks up... I'm that one who... I like to place everyone sort of around me, and then I kind of just sit back and stay quiet. And I'm the one who they usually have to get through all the 4 to 5 girlfriends to get to that one. That's me.
Okay. So a guy can't walk up to the table and say, I would like to buy you a drink, and you would let him buy you a drink?
No. I've had that question asked me so many times, and my answer, usual answer is, no thanks, I drink water, mate, because I do. a club, okay. If you're going to approach me in a club, that is not good. That is definitely not good. For me, I don't even, for all I know, I'm going to eat my words and one day that's how it's going to happen. But like for me, it's about a slow, about someone just giving you the time. So it's usually people who I'm friends with or, you know, just someone who you're able to build something with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Do you find a big difference in American men versus Australian men?
Yeah, definitely. American men, I guess when they want something, then they get it. But all the American guys here seem to get married by the time they're like 23 or 24, you know. Everyone gets married here so young. I don't know. I'm really lucky. I'm around a lot of different cultures right now with sports. So I'm really lucky that I'm able to see how a real man is from, you know, all these other countries. And it's kind of crazy. I like it. It's good. I like traditional. I like traditional and a manly man. A man has to be a man.
Okay. I get that. Well, you know, I say this every week. It seems like we have been talking for just about 20, 30 minutes, but we have been, you know, we feel the hour. We're done.
Isn't it? Yeah, but I love talking to you.
Yeah,
I'm coming. I'm going to come to LA. We're going to do a live show together.
Absolutely. When are you going to be in Los Angeles next?
I'm thinking we might be there. I think we might be there next Wednesday, but either way, I might make a trip. I've got to go to the Australian consulate sometime in the next few weeks, so I'll hit you up. That'll be fun.
Okay, absolutely. I look forward to it. And as you did during the last show, I always like to have my listeners, my guests leave my listeners with a final thought. So what are the inspirational words of Ty Emery this evening?
Honestly, like lately, all I've been really resonating on is just having calmness of the mind and knowing that when we've got the calmness of the mind, it's only in those moments that everything can really just start to flow, like our words flow easily, our actions and, you know, our movements flow easily. The universe starts to respond and starts bringing you things that you've been sort of dreaming of. You know, once you're a kid, I think your intent is so important, people. You know, always have a good heart and just work hard. Like right now, everything that keeps saying to me is work hard, work hard, work hard, because guess what? One day that hard work is going to pay off. And it can be, you know, there's no timeline for that. And it's just God and the universe just testing you. It tests you in every moment. Like, do you really want this? Do you really want that partner? Do you really, you know, do you really want it? Like, the point is do you really want it? And it's gonna break your leg to see if you really want it. It's going to make you go bankrupt to see if you really want it. It's going to, you know, someone's going to die to see if you really want it. Like, the tests that come are just tests. And they're just to see and for you to make sure, like, they're obstacles that you can fucking get through it. Like, you can get through it and you can do it as long as you work hard and do it with passion.
I love that. Again, great stuff from Ms. Ty Emery. And I usually leave my listeners with a final thought, but I think my final thought I would like to leave with you. You know, as I said when I first started the show tonight, we just had an instant connection. I don't know what the universe wanted. The energy was great. Our chemistry is great. So I just thank you.
I feel like we're meant to be talking, and I feel like I feel like people can listen in, and you know, we really speak from the heart, and you can hear that in the tones of our voice. You can hear when someone's speaking truth, and you can hear when someone's speaking some bullshit, you know.
Yes.
You can hear when someone's speaking through jealousy and fear. And I think we're meant to come together because we both sort of hit off, you know, we're both from two different cultures. We're from two different races, from two different fucking sexes. Like, I think it's just two different minds, and it's kind of just showing that, like, we all are thinking these same things, and I think we're just meant to help people, like, because we, you know, we evidently want to help ourselves because we want to be healed, and, you know, we want other people to be able to get through those breaks that, you know, that we have to get to where we are. I want people to be inspired, and I know that you want people to be inspired. You know, you've been homeless, I've been homeless, we've had abuse from different directions, and, you know, a lot more, it's been such a shunned thing for people to even talk about. So I think it's great that we come together and, you know, people can see that there is a different way of life. Like, until they're taught or see it, how are they meant to know? So right now I feel like people are meant to be listening to your voice every week and being able to grow.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. And, you know, our last two shows have been pretty lighthearted. And, you know, just let me say publicly once again, you knocked me right upside my head when you told us, when you just said right now how you got drugged in Vegas. So maybe our next conversation.
I'm just trying to help people.
Oh, I absolutely get that. And, you know, that's what I mean. But
I guess I
maybe our next conversation will be a lot more revealing. Because I think that if people listen, you can't listen to everybody, and you know that's what that's how I feel. But because of who you are, I see you no different than I see myself. I'm going to Germany March 17th through the 24th, and I've got two speaking engagements where I've been invited to go over there to tell people my story and to tell people my journey. You know, I didn't get asked that for no reason. I got asked that because people understand and they know that I have something to say. Now, everything that I'm going to talk about, it's not going to be all, well, yeah, I was this Hollywood guy and I was on NBC and everything was great. I'm going to hit some dark points in my conversation, but I'm going to do that because life and my journey has afforded me the opportunity to help people understand it's not always rosy. But if you continue to work, if you continue to strive, if you continue to sacrifice, you're going to see the results on the other side of that mountain. So when I say to you, I think our conversation might not be as lighthearted the next time, it's not because I'm trying to expose anything about you. It's just I really want people to understand what a person like you has to go through, because so many times I see on social media, and look, that's my job. I'm an actor. Yeah. My job is being on social media. So I'm not a freaking librarian that just sits on social media every day. But I have seen so many times where someone says, oh, you're a celebrity. Your life is easier than mine. You're a celebrity. Yeah. Your life is good. You're on TV. Your life is good. No, the fuck it is not. So when it comes to those horror stories, if people hear those horror stories from you or people hear those horror stories from me, it will not only give them a better respect for us as you and I, but it'll also give people a better understanding. A lot of that shit is just smoke and fucking mirrors.
Exactly.
And that's all there is to it. We are real people. We hurt the same. We piss people off the same.
Exactly. People project you and they forget that we are like human beings too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We cry, we get upset. You know, like sometimes people think just because I am pretty that, oh, life is just so easy. Babe, you wouldn't even last the first three years of my fucking life.
Gotta be worse.
Get the fuck back. Like, I think you're beautiful too. We're all fucking beautiful. Every human is beautiful. Like, we've all got our own talents. So we're all beautiful. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, we'll just see where the conversation leads us the next time we have a on-air conversation, because tonight is the same as it was the last time I spoke with you. I'm not sitting in front of my computer looking at a list of questions. Everything that I asked was just an organic energy between you and I. So I absolutely thank you for that. I thank all of my listeners for listening. I don't absolutely know who my guest next week will be, but I can guarantee it will be a good one. For now, I hope you all have a great week. Please go out and love one another, respect one another. You cannot live in this world by yourself. You absolutely need to look out for the other man as well as the other man needs to look out for you. So thank you very much for joining me. I will talk to you all again next week. You can follow me on my social media. And before we go, Ty, give all your social media and all your stuff.
All my social medias is just my name, TAI_EMERY. So that's TAI_EMERY. I want to thank everyone for listening in. Gosh, guys, this guy speaks some good wisdom and some blatant truth. And I honestly feel like that's where we need to go. Like, podcasts are amazing because it's truth. It's real talk. Cheers and catch ya.
Thank you very much. And with that, we are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.